Welcome to In My Own Words, where we stand on our opinion like Tiger Woods stands for being the best and the worst driver in the game. Too soon? Let's talk about it. Welcome to episode 66 of In My Own Words. My name is Tony R. Sanders. I am your host. We are here to have a good time today. By the way, just in the event that this podcast gets to episode 666, I'll be skipping that episode. It'll just be on your Spotify or your Apple or wherever you listen to this podcast. YouTube is just going to be a blank spot, no number, and then we're going to go straight to 667. That's what we're going to do. But welcome to the podcast. A lot to cover today. Tiger Woods, Meek Mill, and Vanessa Bryant. Of course, I want to give you an update on the life and times of Tony R. Sanders. I just made that up on the fly, but it sounds great. But let's start with this Tiger Woods situation, right? So, Tiger Woods, there's a bunch of different layers that makes this story interesting, right? But this is a comedy podcast. I try to approach everything from a comedic lens. That's really how I approach life in general. It gets me in trouble a lot. I was thinking through this podcast, I said, man, if there was a podcast that gets me quote unquote canceled, and I can't really be canceled, but you know, the wrong person at your job sees something you said as a joke and well, whatever, right? And a part of this may be because I just got a new job. I just switched over to a new job, but I started to think like, this may be the podcast that gets me canceled, but there's a couple of different problems with that for me. For one, I have this issue where I have to tell the truth the way I see it. And if I learn over time that different things, I don't mind, you know, correcting things, right? But my whole life is this pursuit of truth and sharing truth in whatever ways I can. And so that's what this podcast is about. Now, the truth for me always looks funny. Doesn't matter how daunting or harsh the truth is, I process it as funny. And so when we get to this Tiger Woods situation and even the Meek Mill situation, which we'll talk about later, you know, when I first saw it, my first thoughts were, I hope Tiger's okay. My second thoughts were, I hope this isn't drug related again. Like, I hope he's not getting another DUI, DWI, flipped over his car and almost killed himself because he can't stay off the pain meds or whatever vices he may have found himself in. But then I started thinking deeply about it, right? Let me back up. My first thought was, man, how is he the best and worst driver of the game? I'm going to be honest. If we're going to talk about this, I just had this whole thing about pursuing truth. And the first thing I did was lie. What kind of guy am I? Let's just be honest. I had the joke immediately. I had more jokes than that. And it's so funny. That's what society has become from a social media standpoint. Like, the instant something happens on social media, it doesn't matter how horrible or how bad it is. The jokes are there immediately. And I always find myself in a position where I'm trying to explain the way that my brain works. Not that anybody asks me, but just as a comedian who gets the joke instantly, I always think of how I could explain this to someone who doesn't get it. And that's a deeper, you know, I don't want to take you guys to therapy 3 minutes into the podcast, but that's a deeper thing. But when this Tiger Woods thing happened, for those of you who don't know, Tiger Woods was involved in a single car accident in LA. Let me read it for you. I have the thing right here. The 45-year-old golf legend was driving shortly after 7 a.m. Pacific time Tuesday in Rancho Palos Verdes when his SUV crossed the median and veered across two lanes of a road before hitting a curb, hitting a tree, and landing on its side in the brush in L.A. County. Right? So essentially, Tiger drove it long and missed the green is what I read. When I read that, now, all prayers to Tiger. I hope he's doing okay. The last update I heard was that he was concussed. He had ankle surgery and leg surgery. They put in screws and pins and rods, but he doesn't have any life-threatening injuries. He's going to make a full recovery as far as life is concerned. Who even cares about if he can play golf again? But what I'm saying is this. When you're a comedian, you get the joke instantly. It doesn't matter how bad the situation may be. It doesn't matter how bad of a situation it is. And I think that when we go through traumatic things as a species, right, as humans, we all have our different ways of processing things. My default mechanism of processing and dealing with this hurt or this pain or this type of energy is to make a joke about it. I try to use that pain as a form of fuel for laughter. And that's how I process things. And so with this Tiger Woods things, although I'm glad he's okay, I'm glad that he didn't die or, you know, never want anything to happen, I'm not mad at the people who were instantly making jokes on social media. And I saw a lot of backlash. Tiger's, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it doesn't come from a place of hate. It comes from a place of how you process pain. When I first started the show, which was, I need to look it up because I know it was in, I think it was in January of 19, but I can look it up. Give me a second. You know, just keep listening while I look this up. I'm going to go to Apple. First episode, January 6th. No, no, it's not the first episode. Da-da-da. Oh, it was 2018. I've been doing this podcast for almost 3 years. Go back, go back, go back. Episode. It won't even go back. Okay. Episode 3. Okay, November 11th, 2018. The episode is called The Lost Art of Having an Opinion. And I wanted to call this show In My Own Words, but I had a couple of different names. The Lost Art of Having an Opinion was a show name that I was going to name this show because I feel like people do a great job of retweeting, verbally retweeting other people's opinions and do a horrible job of composing their own tweets. Like there are a lot of people, when you talk to them about any topic, you can point to whoever the leader is of that topic or whoever is the most influential voice of that topic. And you can hear traces, if not verbatim, their take on that topic, right? And I just believe in creating an original opinion. Like before I get anyone else's opinion, I like to get the news straight from the source. That's one of the things I love about social media. That's one of the things when this Tiger Woods situation happened, I didn't want to read someone's take on what happened to Tiger. I didn't want to read someone's, you know, their summary of what happened. I wanted to get the details of what actually happened and then form my own opinion so that when I listen to CNN or Fox or TMZ or this person, a Stephen A. Smith or whatever, I can then measure my opinion up against theirs. So I love the art of having an original opinion. So that's one of the names of the show. Another name of the show that I was thinking about was, I was going to call it The Subtle Art of Nuance. And I do believe communication is an art. I do believe to be able to form your own opinion is an art and a dying art. But I was going to call it The Subtle Art of Nuance because I don't believe anyone should believe in extremes. Does that make sense? Like when it comes to being extreme to one side or the other, regardless of what the position is, I just don't believe that there should be these extremes where it's always this, it's always this, it's always that. People say, I don't believe in male, female gender roles ever. Ever? You don't believe in them ever? Never? I believe in them. I believe in the male, female gender roles. Some of it, I believe, has to do with our genetic makeup, right? I believe that it's a guy's role to be the protector because genetically, the way that our bodies have developed over time, our bodies are more in a better position to protect someone than a female body would be. Generally speaking, right? I'm not saying that if you take the scrawniest computer technician or a gamer and put him up against, you know, what's the girl's name from the WNBA? Is it Tashia? Tashia Phillips? I can't remember her name. The one that dunks a lot. Or Brittany Garner. That's a good name. I don't think that you put them up against each other. Maybe Brittany's in a better position. But I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think that, you know, when it comes to marriage, we talk about gender roles. I don't believe that it is beholden upon one gender to pay all the bills or to handle the finances, right? I think that you should look at whoever is suited best to do that. If this person is naturally more analytical and calculated and more focused on budgeting or whatever, they obviously should be the person handling the bills, regardless of gender. But with that being said, I think that there are some things that society has deemed gender roles, things a man should do and things a woman should do, that have been set up that way because we're naturally the best position to do that, right? Childbearing. I am not in a position to do that. Not only, you know, biologically am I not in a position to do that, but that's a pain that I would never want to experience and that level of sacrifice. And so I believe in that. But what I'm saying is this, the overall point is this. There is never, almost never, a one size fits all extreme to the left or to the right. I don't believe that. I think that the subtle art of nuance is something that we should always take a look at, especially when it comes to social issues and pop culture issues that people get upset about, like this Tiger Woods incident. I don't believe that you can't make a joke about this because something happened bad, right? Someone asked me that the other day, like, how fast do you come up with jokes after someone's death? And we can get into this next topic that I want to talk to you about. And I told them, like instantly. And I almost feel bad about it because it happened so quickly. But I can't control it. I have a friend, and she listens to the show sometimes. So shout out to you if you're listening. I have a friend who will self-describe herself as an empath, meaning that when she sees pain in the world, she feels that pain on a real, real level. And she feels everyone's pain. So it's important for her to protect her energy and her circle, because if you bring some drama her way or bring some pain into her life, she has so much empathy that she can feel it in her bones, right? And when she first described herself that way to me, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm that way. I don't know if I feel it in my bones that way, like carrying people's problems and can't put them down. But then I thought about it more, and actually I am. The truth is, I am. I just express it in a different way, if that makes sense. Right? So, for example, when I absorb other people's pain, when I see the devastation and things that happen in the world, my first thought is to try to figure out a solution. Right? That sounds good, but most people, especially if you're an empathetic person, quote unquote, most people, their first thing is to say, oh man, that sucks. Oh, I feel sorry for you. Oh, my thoughts and prayers are with you. You saw a lot of that, right? Thoughts and prayers. I don't see that as action. Yes, my thoughts are with you. I'm thinking about you right now. That's the only reason why I'm talking about you. Yes, I'm going to pray for you. By the way, a lot of people say thoughts and prayers. They thinking, but they ain't praying. They thinking, but they ain't praying. They thought about prayer. That's what they should say. My thoughts of prayer. That's what people should say. Instead of thoughts and prayer, it should be thoughts of prayer. My thoughts of prayer are with you. Because some people don't even pray. I'll think about it. I'll pray. But I want to get something done. I want to have an impact, right? And sometimes if I can't impact it for the other person who's going through that pain in a certain way, then I need to impact it for me, for the pain that I feel for them. You get what I mean? If I could do something about it for that person to make it better, I would. In the case of Tiger Woods, I cannot. In the case of you know, someone's death or whatever, there's nothing I can do about that to bring that person back. But I could do something for me, for the pain that I feel. And a lot of times with that pain, I use it as comedy. I don't want to have useless pain, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to have useless pain. When I experience pain, I'm so mad that I'm experiencing it that I'm like, I got to use this for something. This pain isn't here just to be here, just to exist. It's got to be fruitful and useful for something. So let me use it to bring joy to myself and other people. I get a kick out of taking that negative and spinning it into a positive. I get a kick out of that. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more as the podcast goes on. I don't know why I feel a need to express myself or explain myself when I'm making jokes about things that are serious. I think it's my job to bring joy and levity to those situations. It's always been my job. It's a part of my my makeup. Speaking of tragic situations, now, rapper Meek Mill, if you don't know him, God bless you. I'm going to say, if you don't know Meek Mill, you're not missing anything. Now, I need to couch this conversation by saying this. I'm not a Meek Mill hater or fan. That's what I feel like is the problem, right? We talk about the subtle art of nuance. I think people think that you either have to love someone 100% or hate them 100%. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I appreciate Meek as a person and his presence and what he's done in his life and his ability to go from how we've seen him in those freestyle videos as a youngin on the street, getting in trouble, always in jail, always tangled up with things he shouldn't have been tangled up in, to now move himself into a position where he's a legit businessman, a multimillionaire, and in the limelight. And in most situations, a household name. I appreciate all of that. I've even heard some of his songs that I liked before. But overall, I think his voice is annoying. I think his personality is corny. All those things can coexist together. I'm not a fan of his. I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to some Meek music. When he drops a song with someone I like, a la Rick Ross or Jay-Z or Drake or, you know, whatever, I'll go and listen to that song because he's featuring someone that I like. But his voice is annoying to me. It's not a voice that I can listen to for an entire album. I tried a couple times and it was just like, nah, you're not going to keep screaming at me, fam. You're not going to keep screaming at me, fam. Now, Meek Mill was previewing a song. And this is very important. A snippet of a song came out. And I don't believe that snippets just come out, right? When you hear a snippet of a song, even if it's from an unknown source, I believe that artist has something to do with it. I think it's a form of marketing promotion to build a buzz. He previewed a song, and in that preview was this lyric. I'm going to read it for you. And I know, as someone who rapped before and made music before, the worst thing you can do to my lyrics is read them out loud, out of context, right? It's a lot of things that sound better to a beat than you just reading them over dead air. So I want to acknowledge that too. In being consistent and having this subtle art of nuance, I want to put that out there, right? So as bad as this lyric is, I believe the way that I'm going to read it is going to make it sound worse. But it was bad to begin with, right? And so here is the lyric. If I ever lack, I'm going out with my chopper. It'd be another Kobe Bryant. If I ever lack, I'm going out with my chopper. It'd be another Kobe. That's the lyrics. If I ever lack, I'm going out with my chopper, it'll be another Kobe. Okay. Obviously, he's doing the double entendre with the chopper being a gun and the chopper being a helicopter, right? Some would say that's clever. A lot of people didn't like this lyric. He received a lot of backlash online based on this lyric. He received so much backlash that it bubbled up to the widow of Kobe Bryant, Vanessa Bryant. And Vanessa responded on Instagram with this statement. I find this line to be extremely insensitive and disrespectful. Period. I am not familiar with any of your music. Sorry. I don't know your little songs or nothing, but this is mad disrespectful, yo. I'm not familiar with any of your little music, but I believe you can do better. You can do better than this. If you are, hold on. Yo, I'm sorry to laugh, but listen. Telling somebody, I ain't even heard your music, but I know you could do better than this. You ever see someone, they have the allure and the aura and like all of the fixings that go with something great? And then you see them do the thing that they're supposed to be great at, and you're like, that's it. That's the best you could come up with. That's what Vanessa Bryant did with Meek. She said, look, I don't know your music, but I know you got all this jewelry on. I've heard your name a couple times. I know you on MMG with Rick Ross. I know you got a couple million Twitter followers, Instagram followers. The fact that this even reached my desk says that you have some credibility in this entertainment industry. So with all that being said, even though I don't know your music, I know this line, and I know you could do better than this, nigga. That's hilarious. I'm going to try to get through the rest of the statement without reading. My Apple Watch is telling me to breathe, so I'm getting too amped up right now. Let's just breathe together. Okay, I think I'm better. I think I'm better. Let me start over. I'm going to start from the top. I'm going to keep it calm. Let's read this statement, okay? I find this line to be extremely insensitive and disrespectful. Period. I'm not familiar with any of your music, but I believe you can do better than this. If you are a fan, fine. There's a better way to show your admiration for my husband. This lacks respect and tact. Now, this brings me to my larger point. In Meek's defense, and I'm going to defend Meek, because he's the one that needs the most defense right now. No one's defending Vanessa Bryant. She's in the right. But I believe Meek and Vanessa are right. And again, I'm not a Meek Mill hater or a fan. I'm somewhere in the middle. But I believe both of them are right. And most people don't believe two people can be right about things if the views are opposing. But there's multiple truths. I believe Vanessa is right because if my loved one passed away, and you're doing something that I think is, quote, extremely insensitive and disrespectful, I'm going to speak up on that. I'm going to shut that down. I'm going to talk about your little music that I don't know about and say, look, dog, you got to do better than this. She sent him back in the booth. Yo, go rewrite this because it's got to be better than this. Right? I think that's right. I also believe in Meek Mill as an artist and the way he is processing the loss of Kobe Bryant and the way that he wants to honor that in his music by mentioning Kobe in his music. I think both of those are right. You have the artistic ability and freedom to be able to speak about what you want to speak about and to write about and sing about and joke about as a comedian, right? What you want to joke about. I believe in the realm of the arts. We look at life and we create art from what's happening in life. I agree with Meek. And I agree with Vanessa. Here's the problem, though. And this is what I always ask myself or other people when they get mad at a comedian for making a joke that seems like to be the wrong time, too soon, or too insensitive, or disrespectful. The caveat is this. If you want to know if a joke or a song lyric or a depiction of someone is insensitive, disrespectful, upsetting, whatever, the caveat is this: how good is it? How good is it? Oh, that comedian said a joke. It was so horrible. He should have never said that joke. How funny was the joke? Did you laugh when he said it? How funny was the joke? Listen, I love Kobe. Kobe is my favorite NBA player of all time. I just saw a video of me making a basketball documentary when I was in high school, and I was wearing my Kobe Bryant jersey because in my head, I was going to be the next Kobe Bryant. Like, at the time, I didn't know I wouldn't grow another inch. At the time, I didn't know that four of our starting five on my high school basketball team was going to go on to the NBA and have long, illustrious careers, and I would never see the light of day. I didn't know. But at the time, I was a young Kobe Bryant, nappy fro and all. When Kobe passed and I found out about it, I was driving home from church. We had stopped at Wendy's to get the kids something to eat, and I was crying. And my kids couldn't figure out why I was crying. I said all that to say I'm a huge, huge Kobe fan. By the time I got home, I turned on the news. I'm watching the coverage. All of this is unfolding. As it's unfolding and I'm dealing with this heavy stage of grief, I have 5 minutes of material on Kobe Bryant. 5 minutes of material about the death of Kobe Bryant. It just comes instantly. I'm sure there are artists, rappers, singers, whoever, who had lyrics, metaphors being flipped about Kobe Bryant. Here's the key, though. When you do something that risky, number one, it better be good. It better be good. There's an open mic on Monday nights. Used to be pre-COVID times, right? A year ago. There's an open mic on Monday nights. And in that open mic, I would go there. And that's where you just try out material. And that Monday, I had the Kobe Bryant joke. He passed on a Sunday. Monday, I had the joke and tried it at the open mic. And it worked. It wasn't good enough to make my set. I don't do that joke today. But I had to get it out. It worked, right? Here's the problem, though. Number one, Meek, in this lyric, Kobe can't be the punchline. You can't make Kobe the punchline of your joke. I think that's a rule of thumb with any artist, any writer, comedian, whatever. If you're going to write about something that's a sensitive topic, a certain group of people, a certain person or whatever, you can't make the person, the beloved person, the hero in a lot of people's eyes, the punchline. They could be a part of the setup. They could be a part of the premise. The punchline has to be somewhere else. When I did my Kobe joke, which I won't repeat here, I know a lot of you are listening and watching saying, do the joke. No, I'm not going to do the joke. But I can tell you Kobe wasn't the punchline. Okay? And here's another thing about the joke. It wouldn't be the clip that I put out on social media. Meek, hello? You don't lead with the risky take, the risky clip. You know what I mean? If you're... Let me say it like this. If I were to do a stand-up routine or a special, and the moment within the special I thought would be the moment to get people to come and watch the whole thing is the moment where I use Kobe Bryant as a punchline, throw the whole special away. Throw the whole special away. It's trash. It's never going to make it. It's not a good one. Throw the whole special away. So I say this to you, brother Meek, brother Robert. I'm saying this to you. And I heard, I don't know if this is true, I heard Meek's real name is Robert Williams. And Rick Ross's name is William Roberts. Is that true? I don't know if that's true or not. Beside the point. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if you thought, or anybody on your team thought, we got to leak this Kobe bar, because once we do the Kobe bar, that's going to get the streets talking and they're going to be so excited to hear the full song that they can't wait to download it when it comes out. If that was the strat, my guy, throw the whole, whatever, forget the song, whatever project you're working on at the time, throw the whole thing away, bro. Throw the whole project away. It's not going to make it. It's not going to be good. If that's your lead off, your first leg, it's not going to be good. That's what you always got to ask yourself. If you want to make a joke about something, write a lyric about something, how good is it? Number one. Number two, who's the punchline? Right? I can't make this victim who is a hero in our eyes the punchline. You're going to lose the audience. And that's exactly what Meek Mill did. He lost the audience. There was a comedian one time. I'll tell this story. We were at the 1949 Tavern in Indianapolis. And if you're from Indian, you know about this place. That means you do stand up, because I don't see anybody in there outside of comedians. You know, it's on the list of one of my favorite places to do stand up when I want to work out material, but also on the weirdest places I've done stand up. It's mostly comedians and whoever that comedian has decided or convinced to come to this show with them and no one else, right? And they're going around, you know, pushing mozzarella sticks and chicken wings and whatever to get people to eat. And every now and then I've invited some people out or whatever. But it's mostly just to work on your material. And there was a guy there that every week would come up and do the same jokes that didn't work every time. He wouldn't change them. Like, he's going to do the same old jokes. You know, those 5 minutes of jokes that I bombed with last week? Yeah. I'm going to do those same jokes again. Yay. It's like, bro, okay. All right. I mean, yeah. So what'd you change about them? No, word for word, they're going to be the same. And the reason why the jokes were bombing, it wasn't because that they were just horrible jokes. It was because the way that he told them, alienated the audience. And I won't try to do his bit, right? But it was something like, for an example, you say, hey, any cat lovers in the house? Hey, yeah, I love my cat. Oh, you love your cat? What's the cat's name? Jan? Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, okay, I hate cats. I wish they all died. Well, I mean, I guess in a crude, rude way, if delivered well, that could be funny. But you just dove deep into this person's personal life and then told them you hate the thing that they love the most. And then he went 2 minutes on talking about how he would kill a cat and a dead cat and a dead cat. And it's like, bro, this isn't working for you. But you gotta change it up. You gotta change it up, right? And so every week he would come in and do these jokes that would alienate the audience. And so then it became, okay, I know that he's not gonna change. So now I need to change. I know that I don't want to go up after him. Either put me a couple comedians after him or put me on before him. Like, let him close or open the show. No one wants to follow this guy. Because you can't alienate the audience like that, because it's going to make it harder for the next thing that comes behind that. And so, to close this off, Meek, first of all, the song wasn't good. And that's what I love about Vanessa's advice to you. When she admonished you, she told you the bars wasn't good. She told you it was insensitive and disrespectful, right? But then the very next two sentences are all about how much you suck as a writer with this bar. I'm not familiar with any of your music. Any of your music. Not a bar, not a beat, not a nutta. I ain't familiar with not another thing you did. But I know this. I believe. When people get so mad at you that they start talking about how much they believe in you, I believe you could do better than this. Now, doggone it, come on now. Come on. I believe you could do better than this. If you're a fan, fine. You want to be a fan of my husband, talk about him, fine. But there's a better way to show your admiration than this bullcrap you did right here. You thought Suge Knight was hard in the studio. You thought Joe Jackson was bad. Yo, Meek Mill should let Vanessa Bryant A&R his next project. That's it. That's the take. Meek Mill should let Vanessa Bryant, because I agree with every word she said. This is trash. The bar was bad. The bar was bad. I wish I could help Meek Mill restructure this bar so it wasn't so bad. But there's nothing to work with here. It's so unnecessary. There's nothing that's needed from the lines that you said. Now, if you did this bar and you positioned Kobe as the person who taught you something, like what you learned from the untimely and tragic passing of Kobe's death, then what you learned ends up being the punchline and Kobe was the vehicle to get you there. Maybe that works. Maybe we don't get to this spot. But the fact that you're not good at your job, the fact that this bar is a misrepresentation of what you do as an artist, ruined everything. So shout out to Vanessa Bryant. Shout out to Meek Mill. I hope that you don't ever release that song. And I hope that you let Vanessa A&R your next album. That's what needs to happen. All right, guys, listen. I want to tell you that I was listening to old episodes of the podcast, right? And sometimes I go back to the beginning or the different stages and just see where the podcast was at the time. And I got to say, I'm proud of this podcast because I go back and I listen to why I started the podcast. I listen to the times where I've taken a break. Think about this for a second. There's 52 weeks in a year. I've been doing this podcast since November of 2018. That means that I've been doing this in what, 9 months? It'll be 3 years. So what is that? I've been doing this for 27 months, something like that. Right, something like that. This is episode 66. Now, I'm not great at math, but if you are, you'll know that there's more than 66 weeks in 2.5 years or whatever the math is. So I go back and look at the hiatuses and I listen to the last podcast I did before I took my first break and how I just sound like so conflicted and burnt out on what I should be doing. Okay. And then I listen to the podcast where I come back right after a break. And it's just like seeing an old friend that you haven't seen since college. And you guys are just like, you pick right back up where you left off. And it's like, why do we ever stop talking and stop being friends, right? And then I listen to the next break that I took. And of course, listening to the content in a vacuum, you know, and hearing the transitions and the breaks, you know, I went on a kick where I only interviewed people for a couple of episodes. I got tired of doing the podcast by myself, and it's like, this is not sustainable to do an hour long or 40 minute long podcast once a week. People don't want to hear you talk for that long. Boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong about that. When I started to say, man, I want to talk about more business stuff, so let me do it on this podcast. Boy, was I wrong about that too. I was wrong. And it's good for me to go back and see all the places that I was wrong, because it helps me reconnect with why I started this podcast and why I continue to do it. Listen, I have dreams and aspirations that spread wider than any one entity that I can produce, right? So while I love doing this podcast, I have thoughts, ideas that have nothing to do with comedy per se. I have a lot of thoughts and ideas about being in business and being an entrepreneur. It's a life that I lived before. It's a life that I'm going to live ultimately, whether it's through getting paid to create content online or running a company, an organization of, you know, 30, 50, 100, 200 people and making that my career. I'm equally taking steps to make both of those happen. And there are some times where it connects in the middle. I'm writing a book right now. I'm talking about the working title of the book is What's Funny About Work. And it's a comedic look at all the things that make work suck and what we can do about it. And I don't think I've said that publicly before, but I'm saying it to you now. Kind of announcement, breaking news. So there's ways that those two come together. But what I've learned overall is consistency always wins. There was a time where every episode I put out, 300 to 500 people were listening to it, which doesn't sound like a lot, but also sounds like a lot. Another 300 to 500 would be watching it on Facebook and other places. And, you know, there was always a little uptick in viewership from the video standpoint when I had guests on, right? So a normal video that would be 50 views may turn into 150 or 300 or whatever, depending on the guests. But for the most part, I had a good audience base, and then I stopped. And then when I came back, I was talking about stuff that this audience base didn't want to hear. And so now I may put out an episode and 30 people listen. So starting over, right? But the biggest thing I learned about that is consistency is going to win. And in order to be consistent, I have to look back in the beginnings of what made me start down this path to begin with, and the joy that that brought me, and the release that it is. Like, this podcast is really therapeutic. That's one of the reasons why I don't want to give it up, right? Not only do I enjoy it, not only do I see it being built into a career path for me, but it's so helpful for me to be able to just come and laugh and joke with you guys. And it doesn't matter how many people listen. Obviously, I want to do well. I want it to grow. I want you guys to like it. I want you guys to share with other people who will like it. I want to build a community around this. In a dream world, you know, we'd have a podcast audience so big that I could sell tickets to comedy shows all across the country. In a dream world, we'd have a podcast so big that we could do live podcast shows and have real audience interactions, that I could do, you know, 20, 30 cities every summer or something like that, right? But that's only going to come with consistency. So I want to do it well, but it's just so helpful for my life from even a psychological standpoint to just get on here for an hour and chit-chat with you guys, even though it's a one-sided conversation. Somebody asked me, how is it doing podcasts and doing jokes and stuff like that? And no one responding, like you're not, no one's in the room with you. And I had to tell them that I've done stand up where there were six people in the room and two of them were kids playing video games, by the way. And if you're a kid playing a video game, the last thing you want is a father figure, a 30-year-old bald guy yelling and talking while you're playing the game. Nobody wants to hear that. And so performing to a quiet room is not, you know, I've done that before. But it does feel rewarding when you get that feedback, when you get that tweet or that text or that comment on a video or whatever. That feels good. When you have the conversation with people like, yo, I heard your podcast and I want to talk to you about whatever topic, A, Y, and Z. That feels good. But I'm not really bothered by it because one of the things that makes it okay is that this form of expression is just so therapeutic for me that the sound of quiet, you know, the no response doesn't even bother me. So I just wanted to throw that on the end to say thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being a part of this weird twist and turn journey that we've been on. And thank you to those who stuck it out with me, who just said, you know what? I don't know what he's doing, but I'm riding with him and I'm going to wait until he figures it out. And so that being said, the In My Own Words podcast is here to stay. I don't have any intentions on stopping it. There are some times where I feel like maybe I don't record one this week, but I need it. And so I do it anyway. We've got our set day of Thursdays now. So every Thursday you'll hear something from me working on, you know, just building up that brand. Started a new YouTube channel for In My Own Words. It's called In My Own Words Shorts. It's where we take, you know, short 15-second, 30-second, 40-second clips and put them on our YouTube channel. YouTube is really prioritizing shorts right now. It even shows up on a different way on your phone. So go search In My Own Words Shorts, or you can look in the description of this podcast episode and check out the Shorts channel. But yeah, fun things coming. I'm definitely going to do more projects. I'm definitely going to do, I have a podcast planned around releasing the book. So there's probably going to be a podcast within the next year or so that comes out, and it's going to be called What's Funny About Work, and it's going to coincide with the book, and I'm going to be interviewing, you know, successful people to talk about some of the funny things about their job and, you know, the funny ways we complicate things that don't need to be complicated, or the funny things that we do in order to feel like we're safe at work. Right. So I want to talk about those things. You know, I've got tons of ideas. I won't bore you all with them, but I do want to say thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for staying with this podcast. And the best way I can continue to reward myself and reward you guys is to keep bringing you content every week. So that being said, I will see you guys next Thursday. Have a good week and a good weekend. And hit me up on social media at Tony R. Sanders. We can chat more about this episode. All right, guys. Peace.